Koshcast is back after a weekend that saw more fake penalties than Donald Trump is imposing on Vladimir Putin. Where else to start but White Hart Lane, where it was the story of the Ali Kane, Goodison Park, where Chelsea looked anything but homesick blues, Old Trafford, where the Swans leave United blowing in the wind, and Teesside, as City looks shaky enough to be the tambourine man. Elsewhere, there's a touch of La Liga, where Marcelo reigns on Valencia's Parejo, Serie A, where the Laziali win the Derby della Capitale, and we stay local to discuss Toronto FC's 2-0 victory over Houston, and the dampest performance by a Texan since Tila Tequila. Hello and welcome to the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com and at under_thekosh on Twitter. My name is Alex and I'm joined today by two men looking very sharp. Roche, you're one of them.
Yes, thank you, Alex.
You're welcome.
You look quite sharp too.
Thank you. You're lying, but it's nice of you.
Was I lying?
Well,
the listeners will never know.
And that is the sultry sound of Bernie Uche. How are you, man?
You flatter me. Thank you, Alex.
Not
I'm
at all.
Fine. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
It's the tie, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Bernie's in a tie.
I think this is the debut of a tie.
On the Koshcast.
Yeah, I think so.
We'll see if it makes any difference.
Yeah. I'm more of a tracksuit manager myself, really.
Mm. Yeah. See, in the 90s, an MLS podcast wouldn't have allowed a tie, you know? Would have gone...
Well, now there's Men in Blazers.
Straight to penalties.
Oh, well...
I like the Men in Blazers look there, actually. That's quite good. We'll move on from this utter nonsense to start in the Premier League. And let's start at White Hart Lane, the old White Hart Lane.
Are you sure you want to start there, Alex?
Yeah.
Of course he does. He's a Tottenham fan.
At least we got it out of the way quickly, yeah? Old White Hart Lane, where Tottenham are invincible compared to new White Hart Lane, which is Wembley, where they'll be completely invincible.
Yes,
invincible.
But they looked imperious again, and Arsenal once again looked totally useless.
Yes, Tottenham absolutely crushed Arsenal into the dirt. It was like I was watching some sort of nuts being put into a blender.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a great analogy. Thank you for that.
Crushed nuts.
I mean, Granite Xhaka is about as dynamic as an almond.
He was terrible. Terrible.
Speaking of nuts. Cashew outside, how about that?
I think that's the most nut puns we're going to ever have on the Koshcast ever again. But back to the game and what was a nutty performance. Tottenham absolutely desecrated Arsenal in every... Even the first half, there were two clear-cut chances. One, Dele Alli, I can't believe you missed that.
What was
can't
that?
Can't believe it.
Honestly, I think the Eriksen one was even easier.
Yeah?
Yeah, because at least that was on his foot. Heading is a bit harder.
Yeah. That's two goals right there. Yeah, Tottenham could have won this game like 5-0. Maybe even 6.
Actually, those two open nets. And then after they scored... So they who scored the first? Dele Alli scored the first. I thought that was great intensity, way to keep up with the play. Stay at it so they didn't lose the opportunity. And then Gabriel, just... That was nonsense. That was 70 seconds after, he clearly hacks Harry Kane down, and that's just stupidity.
It was naive. I mean, Kane was looking for it, yes, he bought it, yes, but it's still a penalty. I mean, Gabriel still kicks him. And especially on this weekend where we saw penalties given for just about anything, this was just...
I was going to say, of the three penalties that you might go, that was the easiest one to call.
Yeah,
as far as referees.
Great penalty by Kane, though. Right in the corner. Yeah. Czech stood still.
It was, I mean, I've been complaining about a lot of people's penalties this year because a lot of people are just whacking it straight down the middle. But that was, you couldn't get any closer to the side net. I mean, it was perfect.
No, without hitting the post.
But, Roche, talk to me about Petr Cech, because like usually he's shit.
Well, there isn't much to say except for the fact that he was lucky to concede only two goals in this game. He made one save, and then the rebound went into the goal. I mean,
I think you're being slightly harsh.
Yeah.
Because I think I said this last week, and it was even better this week. It should have been 6, maybe 7, if not for Petr Cech. There were some outstanding saves in this match from him. That I think one from Victor Wanyama, just outside the box, that should have been a goal. He saves that.
The Vertonghen one.
Oh, and Vertonghen had... two good shots, which I never seen before, that Cech parried both of them.
I mean, listen, sorry, Rishay, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, perhaps you're right about Cech, but, I mean, one more thing I want to add to the quality of Tottenham is that after it was 2-0 and Vertonghen was taking some nice long-range howitzers, you can see the Tottenham players smiling.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it was just too easy for... I mean, the... Arsenal were so bad. I mean, it's not a surprise. And that's why when you say, are you sure you want to start with this? I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Because we've just given up on the season a long time ago. Arsenal are terrible. And the funny thing to me about this game was that Arsene stuck with his 3-4-2-1, right? This newfangled system that was supposed to kind of rectify Arsenal's situation. And Pochettino just went, okay... Went back to 4-2-3-1. He was actually playing... Actually, let me read you this quote from Pochettino, because he was asked about the system that they were playing.
Sure.
And he said, I think today you can see our flexibility in our tactics during the game. How sometimes we had 3 at the back, 4 at the back, 2 at the back with 3 midfielders. We used the fullbacks higher or close inside like a midfielder. Essentially, Spurs weren't playing a formation. They had these players on the pitch. Dyer comes back into the 3 or goes up into midfield, and they just did whatever they needed.
To go on Arsenal a little bit, it's a little bit like what we've been saying in the past. You know, it's no longer... I mean, I think a lot of people thought maybe it was about the system that Wenger was playing. It's not. Whether it was Sanchez up front, whether it's Welbeck up front, which was a terrible idea, whether it's Giroud up front, which is another non-event, there's nothing Arsenal are going to do this season that's going to make a tangible difference. None. Not systematically. It's literally get rid of the manager, get rid of the players, start again. That's the only thing they can do right now.
That would be the pragmatic approach. But I mean, if you look at Wenger in his post-match interview, he's talking about things like, oh yeah, they were just better than us on the day. And he walks out of his interview halfway because he doesn't want to answer any more questions.
Well, because they're going to ask him the same question. Which I'll say this. I think he should not act like Jose Mourinho, which is exactly what he's been doing recently, by showing a bit of petulance in his post-match interviews, showing that it's all getting to him, in my opinion.
Well, it has to be. I mean, it's a situation in which he wants to keep the job. He kind of wants it for life. He can't imagine doing anything else. And yet, it's slipping out of his control completely in that he can't arrest this slide. He can't turn it around. And... the weird thing is, though, that because of the state of the club, the decision about whether he stays or not is still his, regardless of what happened.
Right. The FA Cup will be his saving grace. But on...
Oh, you think Arsenal are going to beat Chelsea?
No, I'm saying if they do win that. I should have clarified if.
But, he's not going to win the other game. So.
On Tottenham, I was listening to Alan Shearer, I don't know why. But
sackable offense, but...
and Tim Sherwood, which makes it even worse.
Terrible.
Just the thing about Tottenham is... They've done very, very well over the last, let me say, 3 years. I think they've done very, very well. But they were saying, one thing I did agree with them is that they have to win something. Because if at the end of the day, they're just coming second and second and second, that's great. But the pressure's going to mount to finally live up to expectation, which they just haven't done. They were the better team against Chelsea. They didn't win that FA Cup. They just need to win something to make this all worth it.
You found an infographic that kind of counters Bernie's point on that.
Well, I mean, it does agree with Bernie's point in some way. I mean, if you look at the last two seasons of the Premier League, every team has roughly played 72 games. Tottenham, by 15 points, have been the best team.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've also been the best offense and the best defense.
Well, what I'm saying is, if you look at the I think they have 77 points or something like that.
Yeah. 147.
This season? No, right now, this season, they have 77. Yes. Last season, they ended with what? I think less.
Oh, yeah.
Than they have right now. Yeah. So they have gotten better. But the problem is, other teams were better than them in those seasons. And that's what I'm saying. From a Tottenham standpoint, feel very, very happy about yourselves right now, as they rightly should do. But at this point, they made it. Harry Redknapp took them to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. They finished third last season. Second going to finish this season. They just need to take that one further step.
And I think
it's wanting to get there.
I think the difference for Tottenham is they've shown in the second half of the season for the last two seasons that they have been outstanding when Kane hits form, and he takes a while to get going. But in the first half of the season, there's a lot of draws. There's a lot of scrappy, low-scoring games. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where they find themselves falling behind the first place or being the benchmark.
Mm-hmm. So, what I would say about the needing to win something is I take that point because it's proof of how good you were, right? But the thing is,
Arsenal have won two FA Cups in the last 5 years.
Sure.
And no one thinks they're any good, because they're not. Like, those wins very much papered over the cracks. And clubs win competitions all the time that don't reflect their actual prowess and their actual level of talent and organization. I understand. But the other thing to consider when we're talking about this is that Spurs have the sixth highest wage bill in the division. And in the infographic, Rashid, that you were referring to earlier about the points over the last two seasons, their net spend is 7 million compared to 270 million, 97, 37, 153 million of the four teams below them. So they shouldn't even really be in this position. They're there by the grace of Pochettino's genius.
Or you could say the sale of Gareth Bale.
They messed up anyway.
Sure, with but Soldado, recovering from
who I take responsibility for. But I'm just saying, I agree with all those points. It's just, if you're a professional footballer and you think, man, we are really, really good. Because if everyone on that team must realize how good and special of a side that they now have. It's just, the icing on the cake would be an FA Cup even. Even something like that would just make them feel like they've actually accomplished something brilliant.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on to a team that will win something, does win things all the time. It's, you alright?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait. Now I'm good.
Okay, it's Chelsea, who went to the Merseyside, went to Everton, and won 3-0 in a game that a lot of people were saying was like the only hard game they have left this season.
Yeah.
I think 3-0 is a little heavy on the scoreline, because it was three goals in the last 15 or 20 minutes of this game, I think. Three well-crafted goals. One very good long hit by Pedro.
Chelsea have this thing now where they can... A goal can be... This is how you know you're going to win the league, okay? When the game is, whatever. And then you just bring out something like that. Like
when Pedro scores a rocket.
And Matic in the FA Cup. It's just... I just don't... Chelsea are going to win because it's meant to be. Let's just leave it at that.
Yes.
Like, no, it's done.
They're ruthlessly efficient. And what I love is Conte celebrating each goal as if it were the first. I mean, like, they're 2-0 up. They score the third goal. There's, like, only a few minutes to go. And he just went absolutely berserk.
I love it.
It was so good. And he actually said, during the game, I am an animal.
I think his players feed off that.
Yeah.
I really do. I think it's... For whatever reason, we give Jurgen Klopp a lot of stick for his antics, but I think there's a different level. I think it kind of looks slightly ridiculous, whereas Conte doesn't, and it might just be the new hair. I don't know.
The hair helps, but also winning helps.
Yeah, he has the same haircut. I mean, if I look at him in Matchday 1 or Matchday 35.
No, I'm saying, he got a hair transplant here in Toronto.
Yeah. Antonio Conte. Yeah.
So now that's why his hair kind of flows in the wind.
Oh, here in Toronto?
Yeah, here in Toronto.
Oh.
Allegedly, he keeps it long to cover the scarring from the... Because he had like three transplants before he had the Toronto one.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay. He must have done it right around here somewhere in this neighborhood.
It's in Yorkville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, Alex.
There you go.
Anyway. He got his autograph when he was here. They're going to win the league. That's it.
Yes. No, 100%. I just want to talk about Ronald Koeman, one of my pet subjects. Because he said... After the game, he was talking about how he used Idrissa Gueye to man Mark Hazard and how well that worked. I was like, oh, where'd you get that idea from, Ronald?
clearly he got it from Jose Mourinho.
Yes. Speaking of which, anything else on that game?
No. At the end, the Chelsea players went to the fans and they really celebrated hard. And I think this is the game that they actually felt we've won the league.
Fair enough. I mean, off the top of my head, I should research this better. I can't remember their remaining fixtures, but I know they're not hard.
Oh, it's absolute peasantry. like
it's their
mate. Mate. Like, no, it's done.
one of them is Middlesbrough, I think, isn't it?
I think one of them is Middlesbrough. I think Sunderland might actually be in there, ooh, if I remember correctly. It's going
to
be bad.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to your lot, Manchester United. And could you have predicted this?
Yes.
A 1-1 draw at home.
Absolutely.
You know what? I didn't bet on that. And I should.
Extremely frustrating once again. How many lives are Man United going to get into the top four this season?
Do you want to blame it on injuries or?
No.
I don't know what to blame it on.
No, I mean, sure, there were injuries, but it doesn't... That team is still better than Swansea. I don't care how many people are in that team.
Well, yeah.
It's still, like even if you have many of them in 23s, it's still better than Swansea. It just doesn't make sense. Rashford had an off game. Martial was actually very good. Rooney did absolutely nothing except for score the penalty. But I will give him this. Martial blocked his goal-bound effort on the line, which would have been 2-0, would have been game over. Just shows, again, United cannot capitalize on their chances.
Yeah, and United have the second-best defense in the last 2 seasons overall. They have, I think, the same this season. They're just not scoring any goals. But, I mean, if you look at the way that the game was played in the last, like, 15, 20 minutes, there was, like, no shots on goal, mm-hmm. not on the Swansea goal. Every time they move forward, a pass was made, and the pass was, like, too heavy and went out for a throw-in or a goal kick. Or, like, the first touch was too heavy and got intercepted by a Swansea player. And these are the little things that you're watching at the end of the game, and you're thinking, well, why is the first touch off? If you're watching any other team play, at least the ball is going to be collected by the player on his foot. So what is going on with this team? There must be some sort of, like, voodoo magic.
I will say this. I don't blame injuries, but I do blame fatigue. That is something that I never really gave stock to it. But one thing you know when you play football and you're really tired, your brain goes with you. So if you're getting first touches wrong, it's literally because you're not concentrating and you're not focused. These guys are absolutely exhausted.
Any more so than any of the other teams in this title race?
You know, well, yes, well, more so. They played 57 games this season already. That's 14 more than, I think 15 more than Chelsea.
That's interesting. So it comes to the question of squad depth now.
Well, this is the thing, and that's why, I mean, I was kind of half joking about the injury thing, but when you're in the Europa League, like, the Europa League is not a joke in terms of the fatigue. That it, like, we've seen teams every year struggle to maintain a title challenge and play in Europe.
Yep.
And the Europa League is a ton of games. Now, you know, you're right. The same players have had to play in those games, in the midweek games, because of the level of injuries that the squad has. So I don't think United are lacking squad depth particularly, but half the squad is injured.
Yeah, but there are two things with that. One is, same story last season, where they had so many injuries, if you guys remember. This season, more so towards these last couple of months, well, which kind of tells me that it's less the medical issue that maybe they had last season and more the Europa League. But I do give Jose Mourinho a lot of credit because he did say the reason why we're having injuries and fatigue is because of our success. Capital One Cup final, FA Cup quarterfinal, chasing the top four, Europa League semifinal. This is a victim of them trying to win everything, which you shouldn't have to do. But it's something I've actually said. Teams like Tottenham when they're in Europa League, they should have gone for those things when they were there. Everton, same thing. I would rather you go all out and give it all out and die on the field than walk out the Europa League and be like, okay, fine, and then finish fifth 2 seasons where, which Tottenham used to do. Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that, you know, United have been playing a lot of games, challenging on a lot of different fronts, going far in competitions, which is great. But we've also heard some things about Mourinho redlining his players in the media recently. For example, Luke Shaw.
Oh, man. So, I mean, I was going to say, we were talking about injuries. Bailly went off injured. Mm-hmm. Luke Shaw went off injured after 9 minutes. And we've all seen it by now. Mourinho said, I'm expecting it's going to be a very big injury for Shaw if he went off after 9 minutes. So there was a lot of needle in that comment.
Yeah, I think he tried to be as coy as he possibly can, which we all know is...
Come on.
No, there's a little bit of shade in there.
If that's as coy as you can possibly be.
Well, for Jose, absolutely. But he made another dig about... they asked him about Jones this morning. He said, let's not even talk about that. And then he made a comment about how happy he is that Juan Mata has worked so hard to get back into the team and given his all. Right after he said, let's not talk about Phil Jones and Chris Smalling. So... I don't know. I do applaud the fact that they have gone all out in all these competitions. I would rather see my team go out and do that than pull, you know, a Tottenham and go out in the Europa League.
Oh, and one point I want to give, like, in Mourinho's credit is that in terms of minutes for teenagers this season, Mourinho is number one.
Not out of choice. Because most of teenagers are Rashford and Luke Shaw is still a teenager.
Yeah.
Martial just turned 20 or something like that.
Is Luke Shaw still a teenager?
Is he surely not. Still?
I would have thought 20, no, 21.
Shaw is about as old as
when Michelle we signed is. Him, he was 18.
So wait, who are the other teenagers? Yeah, but it's been a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Who are the other teenagers, though? I mean, Fosu Mensah gets a few minutes.
Is Jesse Lingard a teenager?
No, he's 24. Twan Zeme got
Jesse Lingard's 24.
He's actually old. Jesse Lingard.
Lingard looks like a child.
A little bit.
Yeah, he will always look like a child.
On this game, though, Gylfi Sigurdsson, what a free kick.
This was one of the most beautiful things I've seen this season. No offense, Hats, but...
None taken. That was a beautiful free kick.
No, but not just that. It was the whole build-up to it. So, Ander Herrera goes and stands on the line, because I guess either he or someone...
He knew what was going
to
happen.
And then Sigurdsson points to Llorente, and he's like, well, go forward then, because now you can't be offside.
Yeah.
Then Llorente starts to do that, and Herrera's like, oh, shit, I better move then. Goes back, and then Sigurdsson just puts it right there. I mean, it was delicious.
It was actually perfection.
What was more precise? Kane's penalty or Sigurdsson's free kick?
I think Sigurdsson's free kicks are better than most people's penalties.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
The worst part about this was, I remember I was texting my friend Shindy and I said, I can't watch.
because I
knew he was going to score. I opened one eye and it went in. I was like, all right.
Yeah. That sucks. But I think that's the...
Straight from the horse's mouth.
That's the 10th home draw for United this season. I think they've had 7-1-1s and 3-0-0s.
Well, let me ask you this. Manchester United have set a new club record for the longest unbeaten run.
Wow.
Within a single top flight season, wow. 25 games. Has there ever been a more pointless record?
Alex, that's 25 wins, 13 wins, 12 draws.
Yeah.
That's a disgrace. I'm sorry. Yeah. I would rather have lost 5 and won another one.
Those 12 draws, that's at least 20 points dropped. If you look at the fixture list and you're looking at the kind of games that you've lost these points,
and you know most of
points.
Them, they were up 1-0.
Yeah.
So it's literally dropping the points. But the beautiful thing about Manchester United this season is that no matter how much they trip up,
yeah.
Manchester City trip up even more, allowing Manchester United a glimmer of hope in top
yeah.
four.
And yeah. we will talk about that just after we do a little quiz. This week's Muzzy Quiz It
yeah.
is brought to you by Roche for yes. the wonderful idea.
Well
and also by Open Sports, the app that you can download from all the places that you download apps that shows you where to find pickup sports in your city. We use it in Toronto to find pickup soccer. It is fantastic. Go and download it. Right. Ready for the quiz?
Yep.
Yeah, let's do it.
The old Muzzy Quiz It?
Yeah. Yes,
sir. Here we go. This one's going to be quick. Dejan Lovren joined Southampton from which team?
That was easy.
Roche.
Red Star Belgrade.
No.
What? Hajduk Split.
No. You guys are thinking about his nationality. You shouldn't be.
Southampton.
Wait, you joined from Southampton from Southampton?
Oh, sorry. Never mind. Sorry.
All right. You got 10 more seconds here.
Anderlecht.
Wow. It was Lyon.
Wow.
Roche, your girlfriend's a Lyon fan, isn't she?
Yeah, she is, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. She probably would have known that.
Yeah, she probably would.
All right, next up, similar question. Okay. David Moyes joined Everton.
Preston North End.
Well done, Bernie.
Wow!
Bernie was like, I'm not getting done again. All right, now, a bit of a different one here. There are two players that currently play for Dortmund and Arsenal, respectively, and they both used to play for Borussia Mönchengladbach. Who am I talking about?
That was
Granit Xhaka.
Yeah.
And Marco Royce.
Yeah. Well done, lads. Woo! Look at that team effort.
Did we just split this?
Yeah,
you had to split.
Yay!
Okay, let's go to Teesside. Middlesbrough 2, Manchester City 2. Bernie, as you were saying, every time Manchester United slip up,
yeah,
Manchester City slip up.
Yeah, and there must be something in the water in Manchester that two super managers can't figure this out. But... honestly, Man City were poor in this game. Middlesbrough, for once, showed fight. I haven't seen that in the whole season, maybe.
Yeah. Except for the other game they played against City, because they beat them, or they drew with them late at the Etihad Stadium this season.
Was that what it was?
Yeah, Darun scored.
Ah!
That's how you know things are bad.
Darun.
Yeah.
Darooney, no.
I mean, he had a significant contribution in this game, too.
However, I think that Burrow actually deserved 3 points.
Because I think so.
City were shambolic.
You would.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, Middlesbrough, firstly, they were fantastic. They did pin City back a number of times. Obviously, City are better than them. So when the time came for an assault on goal, City were able to do so. But let's start with who scored the first goal?
It was Negredo. And Roche, who played a massive role in setting this goal up? Do you know?
Darun.
George Friend. Your friend, my friend,
George's
friend.
Your friend of mine.
This is the best, literally the best thing he did all season, and he didn't even really get an assist for it.
It might be the only thing he's
yeah.
done all season.
Yeah. Good thing it was cancelled out.
City
City
got a terrible equal. For the record,
yes,
we conveniently skipped over Marcus Rashford dive.
Oh, we did?
Against Swansea.
He dived.
Which we have now
dove.
Discussed.
Dived.
Dove or dived?
Dived.
Dove.
Dove, dived. Dived, dove. And then Leroy Sané decided to try his best to copy Marcus Rashford.
Oh, I don't think he copied it. I think he went a level up.
You think that was better?
Oh, yeah. Well, better in that it was worse. Like, this was so not a penalty, it wasn't even in the range of penalties. Like, he just chucked himself straight into Darun.
I agree. This is worse than Rashford's in that, what's his face? Fabianski came out for Rashford. Rashford initiated the contact, obviously. But if you look at it from the angle that the linesman looked at it from, you thought, ooh. But Sané is like, what's his name? Darun actually pulls his leg back, has his hands up in the air for 2 minutes, and Sané runs straight into him.
It was so hard to call because from the referee's angle and in fast motion with one time take.
Which one?
Sané's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it actually, like, Sané sold it like it was at the Oscars. Like, Rashford as well, like, the angle, he had that kind of going in his favor.
But I think I said this about something a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, if you're not going to notice that that's a dive, there's just no hope.
No. Sorry. Ashley Young's class of diving is very noticeable. I don't think he's succeeded with one.
I never
yet.
Want to hear that name being
so, said. But yes, Leroy Sané's dive was unbelievable. And, but Sergio Aguero with a very good penalty.
It was a very good penalty, really.
I mean, listen. We've seen Ronaldo miss a penalty, which we'll talk about. A lot of people miss penalties this season. And we've talked about the quality of penalties being shambolic. We saw Rooney, Kane, and Aguero with actually really good penalties.
Yes.
So it is a miracle.
Like, it shouldn't be impressive, but it kind of is. in the context.
Okay.
You know what else was impressive?
What?
Fernandinho not getting booked for literally elbowing Adam Clayton in the head.
Yes.
That was fun.
It was very fun. And that would have been like his second straight red card this season.
Yeah. No, I mean, Adam Clayton is annoying and he looks annoying and I want to elbow him in the head. But, you know, you just can't do
that. So maybe it made you feel a little good that he got away with that.
You know what else was very impressive in this game? Callum Chambers had the best game I think I've ever seen him play.
I mean, he scored a goal.
Yes, yeah, he did.
But defensively, he was brilliant. Except for Jesus' goal, he headed everything. He blocked everything. He tackled everyone. I thought, really? You can play like this? That was fantastic.
He was excellent for Southampton. He just got arsenaled when he went to Arsenal.
Scored a good goal.
Yeah.
Good finish.
Yeah.
And then Jesus saves the day. I mean, I'm sure he's going
to
make that punt.
It was good on Burrow to come back into the lead at that point because they were 1-0 up. The penalty happened with Sané's dead, and then they still came back in for a 2-1. Could have had 3 points. They had 2 chances.
It's true. I mean, one thing, City's season, I think we all agreed, has been somewhat of a failure. But one thing that Pep never stops doing is trying to find new ways to win. And in this game, he started without Sané, without Sterling, and he actually played two up front. It was like basically a fairly traditional 3-5-2, and he went with Aguero and Jesus, which he hasn't done before.
But similar to Arsenal, doesn't matter what system he plays. Not good enough. Season's not good enough. Burn it down. Start again.
Yeah, Guardiola sacked by the end of next season.
Fair enough. Quick quote from Agnew, the Middlesbrough boss. No reason we can't win more games. Yes, there is, mate. You're rubbish.
Yeah, I agree with that. No, you're absolute rubbish.
Like, this is the best game they've played all season. They're shit.
It's a 2-2 draw. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Another team that is completely pointless, Watford.
Well, I think I said them before.
No.
They're also...
No.
Well,
no.
Unfortunately, they had 3 points.
Sit. Liverpool just about getting the win here, courtesy of the best thing Emre Can will ever do as long as he lives.
Yeah. I think this is... No, the second best thing. The best thing of picking himself up after Daily Blind nutmegged him.
Wow.
Or he just dribbled him. But
yeah, he dribbled
him. In any case, what a goal. What a bicycle kick. We are not going to call it what Mohamed calls it. We're not going to ever say that again.
No, should we
say it so listeners hear it?
Don't even mention it. Don't even mention him.
No, go on.
Okay, let us know on Twitter if you listen to the podcast. Mohamed calls it a double kick.
No,
he says that all of Egypt calls it a double
but
kick.
But no one in Egypt says double kick because I asked them Egyptians and none of them say double.
Okay.
Straight red from all.
Absolutely, straight red.
All right. Who's in Spain, by the way? Well, more of that later.
Yeah.
Mohamed.
It's like calling Sid Lowe.
Yeah, exactly. Same quality and everything. But Liverpool needed to win this because, well, I was going to say City and United are hot on their heels, but they're not.
Well, they are.
Well,
both of them have games in hand on them.
Okay.
If City win, they're tied. If United win, they're 1 point behind.
Okay.
That's hot on heels. I've never heard it hot on heels.
We're talking about two teams that drew with Swansea Middlesbrough, but sure.
Leave it alone, Alex.
And then each other as well.
And yes. But Liverpool did really need to win this. It wasn't easy, despite how useless, pointless Watford are. Like, I really don't know why they exist. Do you?
No.
No.
They're just on the beach.
Well, why do Sunderland exist and why do Middlesbrough exist?
I agree.
I think Middlesbrough have more of a right to exist than Watford.
But the difference is two of those teams are going down, whereas Watford...
I'll tell you why I say Middlesbrough have more right to exist. They had Juninho at one point in their history.
Ravinelli.
And Gaizka Mendieta.
Yeah.
Emerson.
Watford haven't had anything in their entire life. They had Ashley Young.
What about West Brom?
They had Ashley Young.
Watford?
Yeah.
Talk me through this Emre Can goal, because we can't skip it. So it may be goal of the season.
A nice little floater came in. There was no pressure on him by the defender.
Wow.
Can was just like, well, it's kind of like at a nice level for me to kick it this way. And so he did, and he kind of got a lucky contact. And it was a sweet contact.
I've heard a description of goal of the season, that was certainly actually, it.
No, to be fair, it was perfectly hit. But it was completely lucky.
In case
people don't know, Riche and I are United fans, but Riche is the most anti-Liverpool person. He will never even step foot in the city of Liverpool. That is how bad this is. But I will bring some balance to this.
I'm not sure he's had the chance, to be fair.
Right,
but
he never will.
Yeah.
But to put some balance to this, that was the second best goal of the season.
You think Giroud, don't you?
I think Giroud's goal was better. Only because I don't recall a time in the Premier League I've seen a goal like that. Although Mkhitaryan offside from slightly closer was the same goal, but this was outside the box, and he wasn't offside. I've seen that goal by Emre Can before, I give it to Giroud.
I'll have to agree with Bernie on this one. I think Giroud's goal required a little bit more skill, in a sense that it was behind him and he had to hit it with the back of his foot, as opposed to Emre Can saying, no pressure on me whatsoever. I have all the time in the world to make this bicycle kick.
It was a brilliant goal. Okay,
I don't even like Giroud.
No pressure whatsoever. It was about the cross as well. The cross came at like a perfect level.
Riche, if you had no pressure whatsoever, you still wouldn't score that goal in a million years.
Actually, I don't know.
No, we're not going down to that.
It's more difficult to score with the back of your foot in like the middle.
I don't disagree.
I think on that level, I agree with you. Yes. Giroud's was more technically difficult, although we're talking about two technically difficult things here.
Yes. But the kind of disappointing thing about this whole conversation is that the two candidates for goal of the season were scored by two donkeys.
Yes.
no one do any better than this?
Are we all in agreement that Giroud's was a goal of the season?
I think it's slightly more complicated.
Great. I can live with that.
You know what ruined it, though, is that he celebrated in the next game by impersonating himself doing the goal.
Yeah. So maybe you should just give it to Mkhitaryan even though it was offside.
I'm giving it to Emre Can. Just to counter Roche's anti-Liverpool bias.
All right,
terrible.
That's your anti-Roche bias speaking.
Speaking of Liverpool, Southampton 0, Hull 0.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Stoke 0, West Ham 0. Couple of things here.
Really?
Really?
Jack Butland came back.
Way.
England's genuinely best goalkeeper.
I'm sorry, but like I can't. No.
What?
England's goalkeeper doesn't mean anything.
He's the best English goalkeeper.
Here's what's going to happen. Jack Butland is going to move to Liverpool.
Wow.
This is what's going to happen.
And then become trash.
Yeah, this be a very good
this
sign.
This is what's going to happen. He's England's best goalkeeper right now because he hasn't really had a chance to showcase his deficiencies.
That's not true.
Okay, so question.
The second he puts on the England jersey in a major tournament and he concedes an own goal but the ball bubbling over his foot or whatever.
Is that like Rob Green? Oh, no. Paul Robinson.
Like every other goal. And Joe Hart.
Roche may have a point.
Just wait for it, Alex.
I'm just saying he's the best English goalkeeper.
Question. If you're Man City, you know Caballero's trash. You know Bravo's trash. Do you go for Butler?
Yeah. I mean, you need English players, so
okay.
I mean, it can't be worse, can it?
Pep, if you're listening, Butland.
Pep, you're sacked next season. It doesn't matter what you do.
Wow. All right. One win in 8 for Stoke. Just wanted to throw that in there because they're terrible.
Yeah.
If you're West Ham, do you stick with Slaven Bilic?
What's the alternative?
What is their goal?
I don't know.
Finishing mid-table for West Ham surely is a great achievement.
Well, they did pretty well last season.
Didn't they finish 7th or something?
They were in Europa League.
Yeah.
But I would say, leave it.
Fair enough. Sunderland 0, Bournemouth 1. Sunderland relegated with 23 defeats.
Are you upset?
No.
I'm not.
It's about bloody time.
I'm very happy with this.
Yeah.
Shocking stat, the last time Sunderland were relegated, they actually only amassed 12 points.
So, or is it 11?
So David Moyes hasn't quite made history.
He's, you know, they have 5 wins this season. They have like 3 home wins and 2 away wins. Sometimes teams don't even have an away win.
Let me ask you something. Isn't a black cat supposed to be bad luck?
I mean, it depends if you're
superstitious. If you cross it.
Yeah.
Right.
Some people own black cats.
It's supposed to be bad luck for you. Not for the cat.
So, like, calling your team the black cats is a fine idea?
Yeah, but cats have 9 lives, correct? How many years have they been struggling with relegation again?
Oh, this is the 10th year since they've been relegated.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ooh, we're onto something.
Spooky.
Here,
weird.
But weird how it's the Stadium of Light and the black cats.
Inconsistent branding.
Yes. Is that a paradox? A paradox or an oxymoron?
They need a new communication.
Okay, question on Sunderland, even though I don't want to talk about Sunderland. You know how Rafa stayed at Newcastle?
Yeah.
Is David Moyes going to stay at Sunderland? And if he does, will they come right back up?
The answers to that are yes and no. I think he'll get sacked at some point during next season.
When who, Benitez?
No.
Moyes. Benitez is probably going to stay. Even though he said he's going to talk to Mike Ashley about it. I don't understand why.
I think
he should stay and really create a wonderful story for himself.
They're probably comparing favorite restaurants in Newcastle or something.
It's really giving me a migraine just imagining Benitez post-match interviews.
Get ready for the Fox, son.
Yeah. All right. West Brom 0, Leicester 1. Vardy scored again. West Brom have lost 4 out of 5 and failed to score in each of their last 5 games. It's almost like they don't care.
Well, they're still in 8th.
How many points do they have?
They've been 8th all season.
I actually don't know, because what I did for this pod was I got the top of the table and I got the bottom of the table and I didn't get the middle of it.
They probably have somewhere around 40 points. That's where Tony, 40 points, Pulis doesn't care about anything else.
Well, to that point, he said, we know where we are and what we're doing. The players are running around. It's not as if they've packed it in. We need a break.
Wait, they need a break. They've had one competition to play it.
Yeah, but they're running around.
Yeah, they've had a break since they got 40 points.
they just hit 8th place and cruised.
Oh my god.
Crystal Palace 0, Burnley 2, the Allardyce revolution is over.
Yeah, because they're safe.
Yep. So that'll do it for the Premier League, unless you've got anything else.
Great, now let's move on.
Moomoo of the week time.
Yes sir.
Happy Moomoo. One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
This week, Mumu of the Week is brought to you, as usual, by Football Heads. That's FUTBOL, heads with a Z.com. They are an apparel brand bringing you the freshest snapbacks, beanies, and t-shirts to wear.
The what?
Beanies?
Beanies.
Troy Deenies?
And t-shirts. Yeah. Not beanies, lads.
Oh.
Beanies.
It's what I wanted.
You know,
to
it's a hat.
Yeah,
or okay. Two, because we call it in Canada.
Can't wear
a
Troy Deeney on your head, can't you?
Absolutely not.
You would collapse. Sorry,
anyway, buddy. You can get their hats, beanies, t-shirts, snapbacks, customized football-oriented designs. And if you use promo code UTC, you get 15% off.
Nice.
So yeah, check them out. Football Heads, again, football, FUTBOL, heads with a Z. .com. I said Z last time, but yeah, this is how we do it on Moomoo of the Week.
And our first Moomoo this week is both the referee and fans at a game between Pescara and Cagliari, where Pescara's Sully Montari was the victim of racist chanting, including from some children.
Standard.
And, a bit standard,
stupid,
unfortunately.
Children.
Montari went over to, I guess, one of the kids and tried to give him his shirt to, like, set a better example, which didn't go down very well. Got more abuse, went and complained to the referee, and the referee booked him.
Yeah.
Wow.
The referee said he couldn't hear it, but it's pretty audible, and those children are pretty annoying. So,
yeah, he should have just choked him with his jersey.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, like, even if you haven't heard it genuinely, which is possible, you don't book someone for reporting it.
No.
I mean, what on earth?
And then Montari walked off the pitch.
Yeah.
And his coach had something to say about it, kind of defending him, kind of saying, hey, you know, give us a chance to win the game, but you're already relegated, so this was pointless on so many levels. I don't know. That's just stupidity, Moomoo-esque, Hall of Fame worthy by that referee.
Yeah, that's bad. Hopefully, Montari leaves Italy for a better place.
He's been there a long time, though. I mean, anyway, Roche, what's yours?
Mine is on a more lighter note. Zidane's recent press conference. with Real Madrid. I think it was a pre-Valencia match, and a reporter was trying to dig into Zidane before the Valencia game. You know, it was post-Clasico. Tensions are high. You know, there's a lot of pressure on for the title.
Mm.
And a reporter's like, how do you feel, Zidane? Like, you know, are you feeling this? Are you feeling that? Immediately, without pausing for breath, Zidane says, Estoy puta madre. Estoy de puta madre.
Which means, translate that.
Which roughly translates into, I'm feeling fucking fantastic.
Good for him.
And that's it. That's all he said. And everyone in the press room busted out into laughter. And he pretty much owned the reporter. And so the reporter fell into the Hall of Moo Moo fame.
See, I thought that meant, like, you're going to perform an act on someone's mother. You know, like, madre is mom. That's what I thought.
Yeah, there's like, I guess it's like a variable definition. Like, you know,
sometimes these translations can.
Every time Ronaldo dives in the box and doesn't get a penalty, you can hear him screaming "Puta madre!" Like, you know, like
yeah.
It kind of just
doesn't necessarily.
Oh, he's not saying he's gonna perform an act on the referee's mother.
No, he says.
Okay. Just check.
You'd think that would be a booking.
Yeah.
Well, it depends if you're John Terry or Ryan Giggs. Maybe not.
True.
Yeah. Swansea or my Mumu? Not for any. You know,
not for drawing with United.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
They're heroes for that. But Landon Donovan has been named an advisor, which is the first act of Mumuism, in my opinion.
Wow.
The second act is from Landon Donovan himself, because he came out and said that we hope Swansea will be the American club of the Premier League. Now, there are too many things wrong with this.
Yes.
Firstly, there is Manchester United, Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, who are better supported. And will always be better supported in America. But secondly, you had an American coach who you decided to sack after I don't know how many games. Rightfully or wrongfully so, that was your chance to be the American club. Maybe you should have made this announcement then, guys. I don't understand the logic here.
I don't think he knew what he was saying.
I'm not sure what Landon Donovan can advise you on in particular.
I mean, having a large forehead.
Could have got Jovino in for that.
Happy Momo. One thing we are no sha, Momo no fit sleep forever. One day, Momo go wake up.
Over to Spain, where Mohamed is.
Si.
And we'll hear from him in a little bit.
Si.
Thank you. We'll start with, speaking of si, Real Madrid 2, Valencia 1.
Pulled it out.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they conceded a late goal, which was a great free kick, by the way. Amazing free kick. Yeah.
Parejo or Sigurdsson?
Wow, thanks, Alex.
I'm just saying.
No, Sigurdsson for sure. It wasn't tainted by the hand of the goalkeeper.
Fair enough.
Yes, in that case, I'll say yes, Sigurdsson as well. But Parejo at that point was having a horrendous game. Absolutely terrible game. Gave away a penalty for no reason. Just held Modric. Just held him.
Yeah.
Actually just held him.
It didn't make
any sense.
It was completely mental. On the other hand, when you have Diego Alves in goal, you can take risks like that.
That is true.
Well, how many has he saved now?
I think it's 5 out of 10. And Ray Hudson had something to say about it, which he always does.
Six this season. And he saved 49% of penalties that he's faced.
That's just ridiculous.
Something nuts.
Essentially, really you have a penalty against Valencia, you've only got half a chance of scoring.
Yeah, it really must be his psych-out game. You were saying something.
Yeah, so firstly, Ronaldo header from a Carvajal cross off the left, inside the middle, making Benzema look stupid.
What a cross, though.
Brilliant cross.
I mean, it was a
brilliant
cross. It was a good cross.
But the penalty happened, and you think Ronaldo's going to score. It actually was pretty well placed, I thought. But Alves psyched Ronaldo out, as she was alluding to. He said to Ronaldo, don't put it over here. And Ronaldo obviously thought, yeah, whatever, mate. I'm putting it over there. And Diego Alves made the great, fantastic save. Parejo, as we alluded to, with the free kick to equalize. And you think, ooh.
Yep.
Zizou, what's going on?
That was on, what, like 82 minutes or something?
Something
it was
like
late,
that.
Yeah.
And then Marcelo. Oh, Marcelo.
Drizzled it with honey.
Oh, my God.
And this is obviously right after that press conference where Zidane mumu'd the reporter. And so, and whatever happens, Real Madrid win and Zidane looks good.
Yep. So they were, I think now they're still tied on points, although they have a game in hand or something.
No,
that's
right. Yeah, Barcelona are on the same points and have a better goal difference and head-to-head, I believe. But yes, Real Madrid have a game in hand. So if they win all the games, they've won.
So Barcelona padded their goal difference by beating local rivals Espanyol 3-0.
Yes.
Suarez brace.
In a game that Mohamed was at the stadium to witness.
Yeah.
Indeed. Should we have a listen to what he had to say?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, boys, reporting live from Barcelona, or how the locals like to say it, Barcelona. So, yeah, got to see the Espanyol versus Barcelona derby. Fantastic stuff. Just to set the scene, Madrid had played earlier, and I had caught the game at a coffee shop. And obviously, when Madrid conceded for the 1-1 against, I think it was Valencia, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, Valencia, everybody was cheering. I mean, this was something in like an 80th minute or so, and people, you know, the free kick went in, and it was 2 points dropped from Madrid. It was fantastic. Everyone was quite cheerful. Then obviously Marcelo stepped up, and we know the rest. So Madrid got the 3 points, and now Barca really needed 3 points. And this was not an easy game. Espanyol would love nothing more than to completely take Barca out of the title race at their own stadium. So we got there, and it was quite the atmosphere, right all the way in the narrow streets from the closest metro station to the stadium. It was flares and people, you know, yelling and singing, and obviously obscene songs towards Barcelona and all that. And the locals were really, really up for this game. So got into the stadium. Fantastic stadium, by the way. Looked really nice. And first surprise was Neymar was playing. I thought he would be suspended for one more day. He wasn't. The game started off, Barcelona not looking great, to be honest. The back line looked very solid, I have to say. Obviously, the surprising thing when you're watching live is that the players have way less space than you think when you watch it on TV. Some of the stuff they do is in such narrow spaces. But anyways, the quality of the first half wasn't all that. 0-0. Espanyol really, really doing well for themselves. MSN are, you know, being held back quite well. Second half started. And unfortunately, Espanyol basically lost the game on a very bad back pass where basically it was a one-on-one for Suarez from the defender. Suarez very easily finished it outside of the foot. Really nice. Celebrated like crazy. And then from then on, Barcelona really had the game. I think Messi dribbled past three or so. Very nice in midfield to give it to Rakitic to finish with his left foot. And then the last goal, ended 2-0 actually. So yeah, it's quite a good game at the end in the second. 3-0. Oh, I can't remember. Someone else scored. Anyways, that's the thing about watching it live. You almost can't see a single replay, not even on the big screen. They didn't show it. And, you know, Rakitic scored that goal, and I couldn't even remember who scored it 5 seconds later because there's so much going on. Anyways, fantastic stuff. Barcelona get the 3 points that they need to kind of keep Madrid in sight. I guess it's I think 3 or 4 games to go, so Madrid really should have this. But the one thing I noticed from this game is, again, it's not an agenda, but Andre Gomes is horrendous. I mean, every touch was just bad. The awareness was all off. Always caught in possession. Some of his passes, some very simple passes, were not getting to their intended targets. It was really weird to see someone. I mean, I'm sure he's a good player, just currently at least. His technical ability is so low compared to the rest of his Barcelona side. And it really stood out this game. It really did. Other than that, you know, fantastic atmosphere throughout the game. A lot of Barca fans in the stadium, to be fair, because of course, you know, it's in the same city. But yeah, it was a very, very enjoyable experience watching Messi live. Was obviously crazy. Neymar was buzzing. He was, you could tell he could, you know, create the difference. Suarez, unfortunately, needs too much kind of assistance. He needs the ball on the plate. But Neymar and Messi obviously can provide that. So, hope I didn't ramble on. But yeah, have fun.
Italy time now. And we'll start in Rome with the Derby della Capitale. And Roma won Lazio 3, the second time in a row that Lazio have beaten Roma.
Yeah, the double of the season, mm-hmm. I think.
Well, one was in the cup.
Yeah,
but you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, to be fair, well, it was 1-1 in this game. It was a competitive game. Lazio, towards the end, pulled away with the two goals. And the commentator, from what I saw and what I was listening to, the commentator actually had a schizophrenic attack. He should have made Mumu of the week. But like, as the third goal went in, oh sorry, completely mistaken. I was looking for Roma Lazio highlights, and yeah, there was a Roma Lazio 3-1 from like 10 years ago with Paolo Di Canio playing, and the third goal in that game had the commentator. The commentator literally screamed like he saw like a hyena.
Carlos, anyway. Bringing you right up to date.
Sorry about
all,
that.
All things Italian.
Moving on to Roma Lazio.
That's
the
really funny.
That was actually brilliant.
That's so good. So Keita Balde, we mentioned him last week. He's having a terrific season, and he'll probably get a big move this summer. Got another two goals. So he scored the first one, and then. Did you see Strootman's dive for the Roma penalty?
I refuse to see Strootman's dive.
It was so bad that they are opening an investigation into it. And I'm not even joking.
So whose dive was worse?
Strootman wins the weekend.
If they open an investigation into you, you know it was that bad.
Especially in Italy.
But in Italy, they actually have set a precedent of opening investigations into dives.
Like, go on.
Like, they've been doing it. No, this is not the first time it's been done. It's been 3 years.
They do need jobs.
That said, the investigation into Berlusconi took like 40 years.
That's because there was so much to find.
It's true. But De Rossi kind of luckily scored the penalty, to be honest. It was a rubbish penalty, but he got lucky. And then, yeah, as you said, even 10 years ago, Lazio ran away with the game with two late goals. Balde again after Basta, who I love because his name means enough.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Anyway, so...
Roma's still in second.
Yes, but their gap over Napoli is now 1 point only because Napoli this weekend beat Inter Milan 1-0.
Great. Good.
Why good?
I don't know. I mean, Inter Milan, you know, they have nice colours in their jersey.
Yes.
And that's pretty much all they have going for them.
Okay.
Inter Milan are just absolute gobshite.
Yes.
So, and also I like Napoli.
And you know what, guys? Inter Milan have been absolute gobshite ever since Rafa Benitez touched them.
That's pretty much true, isn't it?
I hate that you're right about that. I really do.
So Keohan scored for Napoli to put them within a point of Roma. But something I saw today, according to Premium Sport HD, I don't know whether that's reliable or not.
Okay. Is it 720p or 1080p?
You tell me.
That's HD.
All right. Inter might sell Gabigol, who's barely played a game, João Mario and Marcelo Brozovic this summer if someone offers them enough money. And La Gazzetta also reported that Inter will ask Pioli to step down in the summer, but that the owners will offer him a job at Jiangsu Suning, the other club that they own.
So he'll basically just become richer. Yes. Because he'll get paid more in China.
Yeah.
Sounds like a promotion to me.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But why would they be selling off some of their best players?
Because they're terrible. Right. Even like if your best player is João Mario, although João Mario in the Euros is pretty good, then but what has he done lately? Nothing.
Fair enough.
As good as your last job.
Are they really their best players, or did Icardi have something to do with that?
Well, no, Icardi is obviously their best player, but no, these are anyway. Yeah. It's Inter; it doesn't need explanation.
Maybe Icardi's coming after their wives.
Wow. Atalanta 2, Juventus 2. Juve win the league if they win their next game.
I mean, they won the league last season and the season before that.
I don't know why I set Roche up for this. I really don't.
I call this, didn't I?
I have been saying it since
2013.
I'm just excited now because next season we get to see their new logo.
J?
Yeah.
The fresh J?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I've been looking forward to since we've known they won the season halfway through.
They're going to win the league next year as well.
No, we know that.
Yeah.
Speaking of a team... Oh, are we done with Italy?
Nearly, but go ahead.
Oh, just Bayern Munich won the league this weekend.
And that's another team that's going to win their league next year as well.
Yeah.
Okay. That's in Germany, you know that.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Just on the same theme of teams that are going
to
win the league.
Okay. I'm actually glad you mentioned it because I wanted to give an honourable mention this week to 29-year-old manager Julian Nagelsmann, who has led Hoffenheim into a Champions League playoff place for their first time, for the first time in their history.
He's what, mate?
He's 29.
Alex, how old are you?
29.
There you go.
Yeah. Listen, he doesn't have a podcast. Yeah? So, anyway.
That you know of.
Yeah, the Nagels cast. Anyway, very, very impressive. Quick Champions League preview. We've got Real Madrid against Atletico Madrid this week. Quick predictions. First leg.
First leg is where?
At the Bernabeu.
Battle of attrition, but maybe 2-1 Real in the first leg.
1-1.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I like 1-1.
Marcelo with an own goal and a goal.
Okay. Hey, he's got enough talent.
I think Sergio Ramos with the own goal is a bit more accurate.
He's not serving a suspension, is he?
Ooh. I mean, it seems likely.
He probably will.
Yeah, he probably is.
Right.
In
Monaco versus Juventus. This one, I mean, I'm excited about this. This is two very contrasting styles.
3-1 Juventus.
Ooh.
Yeah, you know, every time a heavy offense comes up against a heavy defense, you have to say, the defense usually comes out on top.
Yes,
defense wins championships.
Yes, but you're forgetting one thing. Juventus also have a sensational offense.
Yeah, they
just
everything.
Know when to turn it on
off. Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying 3-1, because they'll be too hard to break down, but they will score.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they shut out Barcelona twice.
Yeah, and put 3 goals past them in the first leg.
Yeah.
You guys are overlooking the intensity and the passion of Monaco's 12 fans.
Monaco just got beaten 5-0 by PSG in the Cup.
That was in the Cup. They rested their whole team.
I mean, yeah but 5-0 is...
Break it down. Didn't play.
Sorry, can you just do that again?
Remember that song?
Yeah.
Break that, I don't know how that went.
That's a yellow card.
We're gonna clip that, and it might be the outro music.
Absolutely not.
All right, that's enough for Europe. And when we come back, we'll talk about Toronto FC. Toronto FC 2, Houston Dynamo 0.
Best 2 goals I've seen all season, including Emery Chan's goal today.
Any excuse. Bernie, talk to me about Jose Altidore.
Love him. Love him to bits. Unfortunately, he was supposed to have an event where he signed some jerseys and things like that this weekend. They couldn't do that. I don't know why. So he lost points for me in that instance.
Okay.
But overall, wonderful goals, wonderful player. May actually end up being more influential than Jovinko this season.
I think that's probably true in the season. I mean, Josie started on fire, whereas Jovinko has very much not started. I mean, he's growing into the season.
Yes,
but
he did have a brace in the game prior.
Yeah.
And
now Josie taking over.
I mean, look, if they're both on form, there aren't many teams.
Yeah, we
that
just
will
need
stop
them at the same time.
Yes, that would be lovely.
And Tosin with a little bit of something.
I mean, the styles are, the contrast of styles is evident. Altidore is a brick house.
Yes.
Like, he will hold off absolutely anybody.
Yes.
He can hold off a mountain if he wanted to.
Yeah, he is a mountain.
And Giovinco is the opposite. He'll be shrugged off the ball by anybody.
Yes, including Alex. But if you've seen Alex, he's very small.
Yeah.
Even the wind. I mean, so
I can still tread on Giovinco.
Yeah.
Like,
easily. And I think that's Giovinco's problem. So Altidore will have a pivotal role to play because he has to make up for Giovinco's lack of physical strength. So basically, Altidore has to hold the ball up for Giovinco to then pick up in the final third with maybe not 8 players in front of him. Yeah. And then that's pretty much a winning recipe.
Right. But I mean, this season they've got help from Victor Vazquez, who's really stepping up now. I mean, I saw a stat the other day, I think it was on Waking the Red. He is second only now to Sasha Kleiston in chances created in MLS. So, I mean, he's really started to click into gear, and he's giving them the service that perhaps they didn't have last year. I mean, you compare him to what Michael Bradley is doing, deeper in the field, his passing is so bad. It's so bad.
But at least he's deeper in the field where he doesn't actually have to be, you know, pretend like he's this creative maestro for Toronto FC because of Vasquez.
The problem is when he turns over possession, like, you know, you're closer to home, so to speak.
Ah, true. And we all know he doesn't run back to defense.
Talking about Michael Bradley here?
Yes. Where were you?
I mean, I was thinking about Jose.
Whenever we talk about Michael Bradley, Richey says, I'm done.
Nah.
He doesn't want to hear about him because he is that bad.
The thing is, like, I appreciate Michael Bradley.
You do?
I really do. I just feel like there's just more that he's got to give that he just doesn't.
Well, let's leave Michael Bradley for a second. Toronto FC, 2 wins in a row, right? I think they went, the first couple games was 1 win, 4 draws, 1 loss.
Yeah.
Now 2 on the bounce. They are looking more cohesive. They're looking like they understand the plan now. Are they on, is this on the up and up now?
I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, this will be a big test on Wednesday. We're talking to you, I mean, we're recording this on Monday. On Wednesday, they've got to play Orlando. And it's at home, but Orlando are top of the Eastern Conference, and they are on serious form.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Larin's banging in the goals. He's been linked to Borussia Mönchengladbach, actually. Apparently, they're scouting him really hard.
I think that would be a good move. They know how to develop a player.
Yeah.
So I think that would be a great move for him.
Agreed.
If that pans out.
But
great for Canada.
If they could buy him before Wednesday, that would be great.
Oh, yes.
But because he's on form, and Orlando are on form, and this will be a massive test. And TFC have come into good form at the right time to face them. I mean, some of the things that are making the difference for TFC right now, Richey, your boy, Raheem Edwards, at left wing back, is really stepping up.
It is. I told you, like, ever since I wrote that first match report when I watched the TFC home opener in the stadium, I was watching Raheem Edwards come and do flybys past where I was sitting. And I knew right there and then that this man is doing exactly what you want a left back to do, except for deliver the final ball.
Which he's now starting to do.
Yes.
Can he defend?
Can Marcelo defend? I mean,
like, I'm glad that you know that that question has something to do with Marcelo somehow in the universe.
But that's the thing with the MLS. The level of play isn't so high, so you know that at any point in time, you're going to see some shit. So, are you truly defending at all? You don't know.
I also think this is probably the first time Raheem Edwards and Marcelo have been used in the same sentence. So,
another cost of bringing you firsts all the time.
There you go. Another difference to the team that we've seen has been, in the last two games, Marky Delgado has played in midfield instead of Cooper or Rosario. So he's the one kind of shuffling back and forth between Vasquez and Bradley.
And that's not surprising to see, because I think, Alex, you had a problem with Jonathan Osorio's performances recently.
I think that was Mohamed.
He had more of a problem with him. I think both him and Cooper have been extremely poor so far this season. And even when they both came off the bench in this game. And even then, they weren't good. I'm not sure what their issue is, but they're both struggling. So Delgado has been given the chance in the last couple of weeks, and he's taken it. And TFC looked better.
Yeah. The TFC look really good. And let's just hope that they keep this up, because I want another deep playoff run towards the end of the season.
All right. Well, they'll do it for you, good. I'm sure.
Yeah, hope so.
All right.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.